The Black Shore Arts Hour.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Black Shore Arts Hour.
The Black Shore Christmas Hour.
Yay!
And all non-denominational holidays that you enjoy.
Yay! You get bells with all of those holidays. I'm Ellie. I'm here with Matt.
Hello. I butted in before I was introduced.
So rude. And also Andy.
Hello. I waited my turn.
Yes. Very well behaved. You shall get all the presents.
Get him.
Nothing for movement.
Aww.
It's okay. You've still got time to redeem yourself. It's not quite Christmas yet. We hope you're all feeling relatively festive in the run-up to the holidays, in whatever form you will be spending them. How are you guys feeling about the impending holiday time?
I'm not feeling wound down yet, but I'm looking forward to when I am. I'm anticipating it's on the horizon.
So you're outside the frosted window looking in at a happy family around the fire wrapping presents.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're still outside in the cold.
Yes, in my dressing gown and wee willy winky hat.
What's happened? Are you sleepwalking? We're all a bit silly. We've had some mulled wine. Andy, how about you? Feeling good?
Oh, I can't wait.
Yes!
I'm just counting down those days, that last Friday at work.
Yes.
Probably finishes at about 12 o'clock. And
yes.
Just run.
Yeah. Where I work, they start shutting the building at about 10 a.m. So
they know what's going on.
Yeah, we get proper booted out by midday. Good. Well,
any jingling you can hear is, I should say, and if you look at the Black Shore Instagram, you'll see pictures of this from Ellie's jumper.
Yes.
We're not shaking jingle bells. It's just whenever Ellie moves.
It's a stunning Christmas jumper.
It's good, isn't it? It's actually a man's cardigan, because the lady jumper and cardigan array was not to my liking.
Oh, I saw an amazing Wonder Woman Christmas jumper on the tube.
Ooh,
on a person on the tube.
Why didn't you just take it? It was just there. What was it like?
It had the big Wonder Woman
WW
logo in the middle and lots of little ones around in stripes like Christmas jumpers do, but in Christmas colours.
Like Fair Isle.
Yeah, Fair Isle Wonder Woman.
That's on the list. That's nice. I like that. I recently purchased some Wonder Woman pyjamas.
Very nice.
Yep, because I was looking for a new pair of pyjamas for Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
Need new pyjamas. And they were my top choice. So, happy days. Well, now we all know what I wear to bed. Let's move on to the show. Coming up, we have got a review. We have got some Strat and Alex doing art. We have got some chat about melee role players. And we're going to be plugging some shows that our friends are in.
By which we mean we're going to do a rundown of all the shows that you should see.
We're going to do a rundown of all the shows that you should see.
All the best quality shows.
From a totally objective standpoint. They are actually all sounding pretty frickin' awesome. So that is legit. Good. Okay. So shall we start where we usually do with this?
A review of a thing. It's time for somebody's opinion.
Bat Movement, what are we reviewing today?
And it is we this time.
Not the royal we.
It's not just me talking at you this time. We thought we'd do a festive special of something that a bunch of us do every year. And I'm sure if a lot of our listeners are in London, I'm sure you'll have experienced this too. And if you haven't, you're missing out. It's the Muppet Christmas Carol sing-alonger experience at the Prince Charles Cinema. So we can talk about the film generally.
Yeah, I think it's old enough now that spoilers does not apply. So if you haven't seen the film and you desperately don't want to find out the spoilers of A Christmas Carol, which is hundreds of years old, guys, then you should just fast forward a little bit right now.
Yeah. It's the Muppet version of the classic Charles Dickens Christmas Carol. Do I even really need to do a plot synopsis?
No,
He's a bad man. He's visited by some ghosts and they make him nice again.
Yeah, happy days.
Yeah, they show him some
frog in this one, though.
Yes.
Oh yeah. No, he's not visited by a frog. The frog is
Bob Cratchit.
Bob
Cratchit.
I'm so confused. I haven't seen this film in too long.
Michael Caine plays Ebenezer Scrooge in one of his career best performances.
It is a
largely
stunner.
Because he plays it absolutely straight, even though surrounded by Muppets.
Yes, I agree.
Yep. So, talking specifically about the Prince Charles Cinema Experience version.
Yes. How is that different from watching it at home?
I was about to say you can sing along. You can sing along at home but not in the company of lots of like-minded strangers.
And
in
not with
setting.
The words on the screen.
That's true. Did they this year, because I didn't actually go this year.
Mm. Don't give away the surprise thing that they do, though.
What's the, what the surprise thing that I was about to talk about that they do at the beginning?
Yeah, you see, I don't think we should tell people.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because then that ruins the experience, because it's a surprise on the day, isn't it?
Okay, fair. I was going to ask your opinion of it, because it's a bit divisive.
Okay, let's do it, but we've warned people.
We're
so...
in the zone. We're in the spoiler zone.
We're in the spoiler zone.
So there's that song from it that is cut out.
Yes.
That was cut out for the theatrical release and that you can only get on certain versions of the VHS.
I think all versions of the VHS. Apparently they accidentally included it in the VHS release.
Is that what happened?
That's what the man at the cinema said. so any DVD versions or versions that you'll watch on TV don't have this in it. And it's the song The Love Is Gone.
Yeah, it's a soppy song from the Christmas past.
No, Love We Found.
Love We Found, yes. Yeah. From the Christmas past section.
Yeah, goes to visit his old girlfriend.
Yes. And she sings a song, or they sing a song together on a bridge.
Yeah.
And if you go to the Prince Charles, they don't cut it back in where it goes in the movie, but they, because some people really don't like it and don't want to watch the movie with it in.
Yeah.
But they do screen it before the movie, which I think is quite a good compromise.
Yes, I agree. And it's hilariously screened, I think, directly from YouTube, where you can also watch it. And it is as quality in terms of visuals as a VHS would be. So it's really a big part of the experience. And yeah, it is divisive. We were with a mixture of lovers and haters, which, you know, did not get to come to blows, but it was close.
You mean they don't make you sit on one side or the other of the cinema?
They don't.
Anymore.
No, segregation has been ousted, Matt. But there's a mixture of groans and cheers. oh God, I'm so sorry.
Nearly.
So yeah, this is, I think it's a lovely song that as a child when watching it, I was so bored by the soppy bit, I would just fast forward.
Yeah.
I don't remember this at all, but then I didn't remember that Kermit the Frog wasn't Scrooge. So
he's in the
shows how long I've seen it.
He's in the woods and he's talking to his ex-girlfriend, who's his girlfriend at the time, and actually they're engaged. They're supposed to be getting married, and he's like, "The investments have not matured as they should this year.
We shouldn't get married yet. Let's put it off for another however many years until we're old and bitter."
That's what you said last year. He's like, "Don't do this. I love you, Belle." And then she's like, "You did once."
Oh, actually, that line is good. That line is good.
Yeah, it's the song's like, I won't sing it.
Yeah. So I think my favourite bit of the film is all of the bits with Gonzo as Charles Dickens narrating the story.
Good. So good. And actually, a huge amount of the script is just lifted from Dickens.
Yeah,
it's
but performed by the great Gonzo.
Indeed. And perform it he does, along with Rizzo.
Yep. Who does not know what's going on.
No, Rizzo the Rat's confused.
Yeah. What are your favourite bits?
I really like the bit where they go to the past to his school and Sam, the American Eagle, is playing the head teacher, but he's playing it as himself and he forgets that he's in a film, basically. So he keeps talking about business. You will learn business. And then he's like, "It is the American way." And then Gonzo looks at him and he goes, and like whispers in his ear and he goes, "Oh, it is the British way."
It's one of the great joys of all Muppet, not all Muppet movies, all Muppet adaptations of classics. So Muppet Treasure Island, Muppet Christmas Carol, is just which Muppet they decide is going to play all of the iconic characters.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that at points, like, the film's quite self-aware. So there's a lot of, like, looking down the camera. Obviously, the narrator is looking down the camera, but there's some asides where characters look at the camera. There's a really good bit where Beaker flips off Scrooge, which, as a child, you don't notice. But me, gives him the finger, which is
I need
excellent.
To see this again.
See, the thing is, every time I watch it, I notice something new. I'm trying to think what it was this year that was new, but I was excited. Oh, it was the bit where he's seeing the ghost from the... future, whatever, ghost.
The really scary one.
The really scary one, with the weird arms and the pointing. The fog approaches Scrooge in the graveyard, and it's like this big rolling wall of fog, and he sort of takes a few steps back, and then just gives up, Like he steps like two steps away from it and then just does this face which is like, I shall succumb. And then he's completely engulfed in this fog. And I was like, brilliant, that's good. Good acting from Kane. Yeah,
it's, I mean, it's a Christmas classic. If you haven't seen it, what are you up to?
Yeah, it's, and the songs are so good.
Yeah, and actually very sing-alongable.
Yes. It's in the singing from a street corner choir.
That one, that's the one, that is the song that, that's always the one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
When yeah. When I think
of course, everyone enjoys Marley and Marley.
Yes.
Whoa!
With Waldorf and Statler as yes, the as yeah, the no,
I remember that. It's
taking the chain.
Yeah.
Robert Marley, haha, Bob Marley.
Yeah.
In the book, it's only one man, it's not two.
Yeah. Just Jacob.
Just Jacob. It's not the Marley brothers. That's always enjoyable. There's bits that my sister Fiona always gets scared at, still as an adult.
The Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come is legitimately scary.
I don't think that's the bit she's most scared of, though. I think it's mainly the bit where, right towards the beginning, when he's going home of an evening to then be visited by the ghosts, the door knocker to his house morphs out of wrought iron into a face that screams. But it's a Muppet face going, so the level of fear is not super high for me, but I was concerned enough about Fiona's well-being that I looked past the two people that were between us and sort of gave one of them the nod and they were like, oh yes, and then just put a hand on Fiona's knee and comforted her through that time.
I remember being quite scared of the horrible people dividing up all dead Scrooge's possessions. In the Christmas future visions.
Yeah.
Partly because one of them's a spider.
Yes, and she talks like that.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this.
A spider in a battered top hat should not be scary.
Oh, no, it's not. Yeah, it's the man spider, isn't it? Yes.
Maybe. It's a Muppet.
He's like the Fagin person. It's the woman with the yellow, she's big yellow head.
Yes.
That goes, ow. She's got like a headscarf on.
I think she's like a cockroach or something, isn't she? Yeah, she's maybe. Got weird, like, furry antennae.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's good. The whole thing is just full of, like, little vignettes of hilarity.
Yeah. There was something different this year about the Prince Charles experience.
Yeah, so this year, I think because we saw it so early, we saw it at the beginning of December, they do screen throughout December, we were upstairs in the slightly smaller screen.
Ooh.
So it was a slightly more intimate experience. I think I probably enjoyed it more because it was like you kind of got a chance to get to know the voices around you.
Oh, yeah.
And that sense of kind of community was really there. And everyone, I think it was more of a marked point where there was a little tentativeness at the beginning. And then there was a point where everyone just went, oh, no, it's okay. It doesn't matter if we're good at singing or not. We're just going to rock it. And it was all being sang loud and proud. I had Strat next to me and he was doing all the voices, which was lovely.
Imagine his Kermit is phenomenal.
His Kermit is phenomenal because he's basically already
Kermit. I was going to say, you mean legitimate Muppet Richard Stratton?
Yeah.
Human Muppet Richard Stratton.
Yes, that's right. So it was a beautiful experience. And I think there's something really special, and also special. You just looked at my glass of mulled wine. Yeah. We drunk it all that. There's something very special about that experience of collective euphoria. That you're all there to enjoy the same thing. You're all passionate about that particular thing. And I think that definitely comes with all singing together in a crowd. So I get the same feeling at like concerts. And everyone had really gone all out with like Christmas jumpers and stuff. So it's a really great experience. It's something very, very fun and quite easy to do with your friends as a festive outing.
Yeah.
And there's still time to go. I think there's still some tickets available for some of the showings. It's showing right up until Christmas Eve. So do it this year if you can, and if you can't, make sure you book it next year. I think bookings usually open in October.
And if you've never seen Muppet Christmas Carol, I think the Prince Charles sing-along of viewing is actually a really good...
What an induction.
They do sing-alongers and quote-alongers for various cult movies.
Yeah.
And I actually think if it's a cult movie that's passed you by, I find them a really good way to be introduced to it, because you're surrounded by people who get why it's cult.
Yes. Yeah.
Is the first time I ever saw The Sound of Music was at a Prince Charles sing-along screening.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really great experience, and there were quite a few people at this showing who were completely new to it and hadn't seen the film. And it's a very supportive atmosphere to go and experience that in. And I think it's quite different from the experience of watching particularly a kid's film for the first time as an adult on your own at home. So I hadn't ever seen Sound of Music as a child, and I watched it on the telly like a couple of years ago as an adult, and I didn't like it at all, really. And I feel like if I'd watched it with a big group of people who were indulging their, you know,
their inner child
and their love of that, that I would have been much more into it and would have appreciated it.
Seeing it that way, I felt like I really got why people love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas I was just like, well, this is very long.
Is that?
And they're fighting the Nazis now. Right. God, these children are insufferable. Like, that was my feeling. I was probably also feeling a bit sick from having eaten too much, but...
Christmas, isn't
it? I know. Hashtag Christmas. Great. I mean, we have nothing bad to say about it.
Of course.
Muppet Christmas Carol is brilliant. Yeah.
It's funny. It's scary. We haven't talked about when it's sad.
Oh, gosh.
Sometimes it's very sad.
Sometimes it's real sad.
Poor Tiny Tim. Who did not die!
What a moment. Yeah. I think I've cried every time I've watched it.
Oh.
Not just at the Tiny Tim bits. And I think there was a few tears shed amongst our group this time round as well. It's very touching.
I'm sure there will be next year as well.
Yeah, you know it all is. Michael Caine just speaks of the human condition, doesn't he?
Yeah.
What I also find
so
really funny...
So does Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
human condition.
But that's not even being sarcastic, that's just true. The thing I really enjoy thinking about sometimes while watching the film is that if you were to zoom out, what you would see is Michael Caine... surrounded by people who are like in trenches. Yes. to perform as a Muppet puppeteer, you have to sit in a trench to have your Muppets at the right height.
Yeah.
Or you just be crouched on the floor. It's true, I've seen a backstage video. Don't look at me like I'm lying.
No, I'm not. I'm just... I was trying to work out how to respond because I totally agree. Oh, a thing that I think we should ask the listeners to weigh in on, which is an age-old debate from... arising from this movie, is how come Kermit and Miss Piggy's children are some frogs and some pigs?
What, rather than some kind of pig frog hideous hybrid?
Because
that's why, Matt.
Because all the girl children are pigs and all the boy children are frogs. And in the Muppet universe, are frogs girls and frogs boys and pigs girls?
Maybe.
Is that how it works?
Maybe. I don't know, Matt.
Talk to us on Twitter at Blackshore Update.
It's clear the frog gene's only on the Y chromosome.
Oh,
it's dominant. There we go. That's how
science.
It works.
Dr. Andy Crane weighing in
biology
on the
A-level.
Frog.
There you go.
If anyone else has got any theories, please do get in touch. And talking of weighing in on social media, Bat Movement, what have we done in the last few weeks?
What have we done? That's so accusatory.
It is accusatory. Jacques.
It's not what we've done, it's what the listeners have done,
which
solved our dilemma for us. we couldn't decide in last episode which of Strat or Alex should win this latest round of Strat and Alex Do Art.
Yes, which was to take the best photo of Tooting Market, the photo that best encapsulates the spirit of the location.
Yeah.
So you've been voting in your droves, your veritable droves, on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you very much for those votes. And I can now exclusively reveal the results. On Twitter, the results were 36% voted for Alex, which means 64% voted for Richard Stratton.
Ooh.
So that's a clear win for Richard Stratton there.
And as a reminder, Alex's photo was more like a scene with a beautiful vanishing point.
Yes, absolutely.
Right down the aisle of Tooting Market.
Wonderfully composed.
Strat focused on a particular stall holder, a chap named Ernest, and showcasing his wares.
Yes.
So that's a vote for the photo of Ernest
on
the Twitter.
Insert X Factor music here. It's just a heartbeat, isn't it?
I don't know it.
Ba-bum. Ba-bum. Ba-bum.
Christmas Factor. Xmas Factor.
Yes.
They do that. Do they
That's
do that?
Thing, yes.
Have they thought of it? Oh, damn it. I thought I'd
Other people
come up
thought
with
that.
It.
Point is, on Facebook, 19% voted for Alex, which means Strat is the runaway winner, with 81% on Facebook and 64% on Twitter. So congratulations, Strat. You are the winner of photos.
And congratulations, listeners, for being much more decisive than me or Ellie.
Absolutely. So currently the overall score for the series of, I say series, it's just going on forever, for the competition that it will never end.
The current league.
It is 5-3 to Alex.
Ooh, he's starting to pull ahead.
Trailing behind, but he's gathering momentum. Mm. So we'll see what happens in this episode's instalments of Strat and Alex Do Art.
Strat and Alex Do Art.
Oh yeah.
Yes, art. Oh.
Oh, I mean, it looks lovely, mate.
So, this time we're going to be getting you guys to do a four-cell comic strip.
That we are.
Now, we already know from previous challenges that Strat has been historically at a bit of a disadvantage in terms of drawing, in that Alex has much more experience at drawing.
Mm. Yes.
So, this will be very interesting, because obviously this allows you to choose your own style.
Yeah.
Because they're a legitimate comic things which are stick figures.
Yep.
Just saying. Now we're going to give you some parameters for the task. It needs to be set in space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It needs to try to be entertaining, like funny.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cool.
And it's four cells.
Okay.
Now
it's going to appear in the new Blackshaw Gazette newspaper that we're definitely launching.
It's a yes.
Yeah.
Are these, in terms of just structure, are these the four cells the same size, or are these? These cells can be whatever side needs to.
Well, shall we have a little bit of history of the format?
Yeah.
And we can see that.
So that four panel comics have been used kind of throughout history for gag comics, especially in newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a particularly recognised as an art form in its own right, kind of as a subset of comics in Japan, where the format is known as yonkoma, which literally just means four panels. In yonkoma comics, they are all the same. All the panels are the same size, and they're usually stacked one on top of the other.
Right.
But that's generally to do with how the Japanese writing reads.
Yeah.
Top to bottom, so
yeah.
I wouldn't want to limit you to that.
Okay.
What's interesting about it, or what takes my interest about four panel comics, is that they lend themselves to a four act structure, storytelling structure, so that the typical three-act structure that you might know from basically all blockbuster Hollywood movies is based around conflict, and you can summarize it as in act one you put a character up a tree, in act two you throw rocks at them, and in act three you get them down again.
Yeah,
right.
Whereas the typical plot structure for a four-act structure, which you can do each act in one panel, and has been done in various strips, let me find this. It's the four acts are known as key, where you set the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Sho, where you develop on that foundation.
Yeah.
Ten, where an unforeseen development occurs and you have a form of climax. And Kets, where there is a conclusion and you see what the fallout from the third panel is. So it's known in Japan as Kishoten Kets. Which is interesting because you can use it to tell stories that don't revolve around conflict in the way a lot of traditional English and American storytelling does. And I'll show you a little example off the air to give you an idea of how that actually works in practice.
So is that what you want us to do, those four things?
I think that I'm just giving you some context, and you can take that as inspiration if you want. I wouldn't want to limit you.
Okay.
Necessarily.
Okay,
I wouldn't want to put that as a parameter.
Being judged.
No, I just thought that was interesting.
Okay, cool.
It was just an interesting fact that caught my fancy about four panel comics.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting how you could put that into a gag as well, because gags are generally, you got your setup and your payoff.
It's more of a reveal. The conclusion with a gag comic is the reveal at the end.
Yeah, quite.
I guess.
Yeah. Or that's the unforeseen, maybe. And yeah, interesting.
Maybe.
Okay,
Are your brain cogs whirring sufficiently?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Have we said where we're setting it?
Space.
Space.
Yes.
Right, okay. We're setting it in space. So it's a four-panel comic set in space that's got to attempt humour.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So you've got 30 minutes for this.
So you've got some thinking time and some construction time.
Yeah. Any further questions?
No.
No.
Your time starts now.
The Blackshaw Arts Hour.
Ooh, that's a tasty ear treat.
So, this one is interesting, I think partly because they're both super fans of comic books or graphic novels.
Yeah, they've both got a lot of, even if I don't know how much either of them have thought about it and like deconstructing it in terms of technique and how to do stuff, but
I don't know how much they've thought about it.
It's something that they both have at least a high level of subconscious knowledge.
They have
of,
consumed
like,
much.
Yeah, I'm sure they both have opinions about what they think is good. It's just whether that comes through into any of the work.
So we'll go back to them in a bit and find out how they get on. In the meantime, good news, everybody. The second series of Merely Roleplayers, our sister podcast, is available to download now.
I'm so excited.
The first, the beginning, not the whole season.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's the first two episodes.
It hath begun.
Yes. It begins.
It's a biblical season, so I'm going biblical language.
You should do a biblical one.
A biblical
epic.
That
would be really funny.
That could work. We could do that.
Yeah. We'll do it better than that terrible film Noah with Russell Crowe. So actually, I'm really interested to see what Andy thinks of it, because Andy is a potential future involved person.
Yeah.
But has been listening to series one.
Yes.
Which is something that neither of us can do in a removed capacity because we're both part of it. What are your thoughts, Andy?
I just love it so much. I think what I find interesting is I completely forget that it's completely improvised and all as a role-playing game, because I feel like it's a genuine story. I'm like, where's it going to go next? What happens?
We fell out.
Don't
make
me wait.
That's the joy of it. That's what we all around the table are feeling as well, including me.
I'm genuinely fascinated now by the genre of role-playing.
It's really fun, like,
isn't it? It's brilliant. Yeah.
I'm
so up for getting involved.
Yes, yeah, I'm really happy to have introduced some people to it who hadn't really kind of got involved
to
the
concept.
Idea
like, I just didn't know anything about it before.
Before listening, I wasn't, no offence, I wasn't confident in a role-playing game being a listenable experience, but it so is. It's just like a really compelling story. I don't want
to
have them.
Have you listened to the whole of the series
yet? Yeah, it's brilliant.
Without spoilering, how did you feel about the ending?
Oh, I think it was the only ending it could be.
Yeah, I laughed so much in that final wrap up section.
Just pow, pow, pow. So
there's,
good.
There's, yeah, I mean, a mild warning of violence in that last episode.
Yes.
From an unexpected source.
I don't know, I think if you've listened to all of the... So we do story episodes, and then we do the backstage episodes, which is where people... We delve into the mechanics and the... how things work behind the scenes in terms of how people construct their character profile, which determines how good they are at certain things when they start rolling dice, which you don't have to listen to if you're not interested in that stuff. But if you have listened to those, you will know who of the four players is most likely to get violent. Because that's kind of the way that
they're... Yeah, that's true. Playing to their strengths.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm really glad that it's enjoyable to listen to hopefully as much as it is to be part of.
Yeah. Mm. So season two has just started. There's a first full story episode and a first backstage episode both out as we release this. If you're
Who's
listening to it late.
Backstage episode is it? Can you remember?
It's nobody's. It's a rules recap.
Ah, okay, cool.
Because we changed some bits in between, and we had some new players who didn't play in season one.
Yeah.
But it's a jumping on point. Like, every season will be four or five episodes, and every season you can listen to in isolation. So obviously we encourage you to go back and catch up on season one if you didn't listen, but you don't have to do that to enjoy season two.
Yeah.
I would recommend, though, as a listener, it needs to be heard to be believed.
To be believed, yeah, that's true. Good, and it's sort of genred into the Enid Blyton childhood adventure category.
Yeah, the cosy British action adventure mystery.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. I think.
Are there secret tunnels?
That would be telling.
Love a secret
there
tunnel.
Aren't any secret tunnels in episode one.
Oh,
I'll say that.
Yeah. So wait.
it's quite a thing, and what are the plans? Sort of. Looking even further into the future, is there going to be a series three?
There is. It's going to be a Western. And after series three, there'll be season four, which will be a heist.
Yep.
which are all things that I'm listening to my players and hearing what they want
to
do.
Yeah, I kind of, with the Western one, want to take the tablecloth off of my kitchen table, which is where we record, and provide everyone with tumblers so that we can slide drinks across the bar.
Yes, I thought you were going to say coconut shells. So
oh no, but
horses.
I do have some of those, so we could totally do horses.
We'll introduce Foley to the...
That would be really fun. We could just have a selection of things on the table and then just pick them up when the time is right. Or they could just be in your arena, and as story master, you're the only one allowed to use them.
Yeah, some jingle bells.
I know, I'm sorry. They're on my front and I brush them when I gesticulate while in excitement.
So you can find it and subscribe to the podcast, should you wish to, at merelyroleplayers.podbean.com. And it's also got its own Twitter and Facebook. Also on Twitter, it's at Merely Roleplay, because we're limited on characters. And on Facebook, just look for Merely Roleplayers. It's on there as a Facebook page of a podcast.
I have to say, as things to follow on social media, it's very entertaining.
Oh, good. I'm glad you think so.
Yes. I chuckle regularly at the content there. Great. Okay. Well, we're going to move on from that recommendation and go back to the lads and see how they are getting on with their stripping. Right, lads.
Hey.
You've had your time.
Yeah. We've had our time.
You've done your time.
Done it.
Now you've been released back into the radio world. What have you created?
Well, what we've created is a 4-panel comic strip set in space
that attempts to be funny.
Yeah, it's just as well, because that was the brief.
Yay! High five!
Yeah. That was hard.
I mean, yeah, but we will literally be the judges of that, so...
Yeah. That was really tough. I think possibly the one of the more tougher ones we've done.
You were both, I think, the quietest you've ever been during a task.
Yeah.
So it was obviously quite strenuous.
Yeah, well, it was... I think, I don't know about you, but someone says, do something funny. You have half an hour.
Yeah. That's not, it's not easy.
No, and I got stuck on one idea. No, it's not the idea I ended up going with. But
oh, no.
I spent so long trying to do something with planets, one talking to the other one, not looking very well.
Yeah.
And then one saying, well, what's wrong? He says, oh, it's my asteroids. They're praying up again.
But
I wasn't confident enough. I could draw planets and then asteroids. It just...
mate.
I had to go with something else.
That's interesting, because we when we were giving you the brief and deciding the parameters, Alex decided pretty much straight away, yeah, I've got a thought.
Yeah.
Like, I know I can do something within these parameters. So did that change?
No.
You stuck with that idea?
I stuck with it. It got refined. Like, it simplified dramatically. I remember the creator of Miffy saying that when he draws his Miffy pictures, that he starts off with, say there's a picture of Miffy crying, and he'll start off with 3 tears, and then he'll like keep reducing it and simplifying it and simplifying it until Miffy only has 1 tear, and then Miffy's very, very sad. No. So there's no tears in mine, but just in terms of like simplifying and refining it, that was kind of what was going on in my head.
Why have you made Miffy sad, Alex?
I haven't made Miffy sad. It's the creator of Miffy. It's very much his prerogative.
Good. So, should have a look.
Yeah, all right. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, how do you want to do this?
Whip it out. I don't know.
So,
I mean,
do you want someone to read?
So listeners, check out all of our online channels that have visuals.
Yeah, and you can then look at it as we talk about
it. Yeah, read along. We read along with Blackshaw.
Okay. So should I just... Did you just want to read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pass it to us and we'll do the describing and things. So, Matt, you can take this one.
Okay. There you go.
Okay, so we have 3 smaller panels and then 1 larger, wider panel to end. We have some stick figures. So Strat's following those parameters that you gave earlier. They are on the surface of a planet or moon wearing space helmets. I mean, I'm laughing at the first panel already because I just find that when you put space in front of a word, it does make it better.
Yeah.
So character 1 says, well, Space Poirot, this is quite a murder case. And now I see that Space Poirot has his only facial feature is a moustache.
Yep. Amazing. Simple. Like it. Good.
Panel 2, Space Poirot replies, nonsense, Space Hasty. Should I do the accent?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. What do Belgians sound like?
French.
Yeah, they sound French. Just do it. You don't have to do it. That's okay.
Sorry, Belgians.
Nonsense Space Hastings, if you engage the little grey matter, it all becomes clear. In the third panel, Space Hastings, as we now know it is, replies, dash it all, I still can't see the answer. And, I mean, I'm predisposed to like this because this is a pun. We end on a pun. I love a pun. We widen out to be able to see that on one side of the pair is the Curiosity rover, and on the other side is a grave saying R.I.P. Tiddles. And Poirot says, it's simple. Curiosity rover killed the cat.
Oh, that's good. I appreciate that. That is interesting.
I'm passing this over to Alex so that he can appreciate the style.
Can I just say, for someone who cannot draw, quote unquote, he drew the Curiosity rover.
Yeah.
What?
I drew a box with on. I didn't draw it.
Come on! I wouldn't have known where to begin with that.
I googled it.
Oh, fair enough. Well, I mean, either way.
Yeah.
Research is important.
Absolutely.
Research is important.
Yeah. I think it's great.
I like that. I think that's really good.
Is Space Poirot Hercule Poirot who's gone to space, or is he like the Poirot of space?
I'll leave that up to
person?
You.
Okay.
I do like the fact it's art,
it's open to interpretation.
Yeah. I do love the fact he's just got a little tash. That's it. Yeah. That's great.
That was the hardest bit to draw because it kept on making it look like he had like some deranged grin.
Oh, yeah, I can see. I like that. Yeah.
That's lovely.
Space Poirot.
Right, yep. Let's see the next one.
Very simple.
I love how Strat went with an iPad and Alex has gone for pen and paper.
That's pretty much how I roll.
Okay, so this the first panel, they're all the same size. The first panel says, okay, it's two sort of alien beings. They're like blobs with antennae and they're clearly in a little space vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like a domed bubble top and then I suppose it's a bit like car headlights at the front. And one of them saying... Or is this the Titan sub? It's the people are saying it. People, aliens.
Yeah.
I'm good at this. The aliens are saying, if you don't know, let's just ask. And then the second panel, they're looking progressively. One of them's looking progressively grumpy, and there's no speech. And then the third panel, progressively grumpy and looking away from each other, like they've had. This is an argument. And then the final panel. You zoom out considerably to see a planet or moon in its entirety, pretty much, surrounded by the infinity of space. And you can see the little alien vehicles landed on the top of it. And it just says, we've gone in a circle, haven't we? That's very good.
I enjoy this.
Very good.
So the two panels in the middle... are an example of what I know because I read the comic writer Kieran Gillen's blog as an example of a comics technique known as decompression, where convert an otherwise quite brief moment into, like, by bumping up the number of panels you use to present it, you slow down the reader's reading speed and sort of draw out that moment.
So it's basically like in performance, it's a dramatic or comedy pause.
Yeah,
it is. Effect, essentially,
yeah,
isn't
kind of
it?
Is, yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah. I like the way you've put the panels, so like it's like almost like a Z shape.
It's like
shape.
One of those
that
horrible
in...
Tetris pieces.
Yes,
that
yes it is.
Yes, it's the horrible Tetris piece. Yeah.
Staggered.
Guessing
yeah.
that was intentional?
Yes, that was intentional.
That's very cool.
Great. I've got instant gut reaction for voting. Matt, are you prepared to give your vote?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I am voting for Strat because I think it is a very clever joke in terms of science, and is also just I like the fact that there's Poirot, and I think it's really funny.
That's a good reason to like a comedy cartoon.
I'm actually going to go with Alex.
Oh, what?
Because I know I'm sorry to hang the Parliament again. But partly because it uses the four-panel format to create like a sense of time, and that he hasn't felt the need to use dialogue in every panel.
Okay.
I like that he's exploited it as a visual medium.
Mm. Ooh.
Wow.
It's interesting, actually, that both of you have gone with like the first three panels are quite similar to each other, with very like just the subtle difference
and then, like,
in
a
Alex.
Big reveal at
Alex's
the end.
Of the eyes moving.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty much the final panel for both of us is as though camera pans out.
Yeah.
And it reveals something that up until then the audience, Like, that's the kicker. They're on a tiny planet and we've just been going round and round the planet. Yeah.
It's a hard decision because I do love a pun and I do love the idea of space Poirot.
Yeah. So we're going to have to open up to public vote again.
Yeah. There you go.
The tiebreaker.
It's gone to deadlock, as X Factor would say.
Oof.
So we will be putting this out as a poll on Twitter.
Yeah.
You can do polls on there.
That's good. So, look out for that and we'll let you know in the next episode who won that round.
Excited!
Well, as you heard, they did keep their clothes on. Although, actually, you can't really hear whether they're naked or not. That would be weird.
They weren't.
We were all fully clothed. That was another Hung Parliament situation.
It was.
So we're going to do what we've done before.
It worked out very well.
We're going to open it up to the general public.
Yes.
That's you.
Voting. Yes, you, listening.
It's you. You're the chosen ones. Matt looked at me like, how much longer are you going to creepily whisper? Should I stay quiet?
I'm slightly worried the salad fingers voice is going
to
come out.
No, I'm going to restrain myself. So we need you to go online to our Facebook and or Twitter, have a look at the pics, which will be up there, and you can do a vote on it.
Yeah, we're giving you comics for free, people.
Free comics. That's like a Christmas present, right?
Yeah, that's what we got you all.
Presents, presents, presents. They are actually genuinely pretty good comics.
Yeah, I laughed.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't choose.
That's why I spent so long wondering whether I should keep them or throw them away.
I'm looking at Ellie's fridge. It doesn't have a magnetic door,
no,
so
that's,
you can't actually put things on it.
That's why I had to carefully and lovingly place them in the bin.
But they live on forever in electronic form.
They do.
They've been digitally archived.
They have. There we go. It's fine. That's exactly it. So if you want to digitally look at these photos, because that's the only way you can, please do go to our Twitter and Facebook and vote for your favourite. You can vote on both platforms if you like. We know that's a thing you can do. And then you do count twice.
We have no way to stop you.
No, in fact, I'm just going to encourage it now. Vote twice, guys. Why not? How are you feeling about it, Matt? Do you want to speculate as to which way you think it's going to go?
I mean, I'm still in exactly the same situation. Oh. I cannot decide.
Yeah.
This is why we have to do it this way.
Oh,
because we're so indecisive. How about you? Have your views changed?
No, I'm backing my winner.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that I can roll out voting online polls as a way to make all my life decisions from here on in.
That's a good
plan. So on my personal Twitter and Facebook, I might just start asking people, like, which pair of shoes should I get? Vote now. Which Christmas tree should I get? Vote now. I'm saying this because my Christmas tree is in this room and it is way too big for the room.
So this is a decision you wish you'd opened up to
well,
the internet.
Well, I kind of wish when the guy had said to me, what tree do you want? And I said, any 7-footer.
Uh-huh.
And then he said, slim or bushy. That I hadn't got so distracted by laughing at the word bushy that I'd said, whatever. Because it's the bushiest tree you've ever seen. It's almost
it's wide.
It's as wide as it is tall. So,
it's very festive.
It's beautiful.
And the smell of pine is overwhelming.
It's lovely. Overwhelming. And he's going to be sick from the smell of pine.
It's given Tilly the cat a whole new range of places to hide.
She really likes sitting underneath it. She's
like a little gift.
The tree. Yeah. I've also got her another little gift for Christmas, which maybe I'll post on our Twitter and Facebook.
She's right there. Don't spoil the surprise.
She's asleep. It's fine.
Okay.
She genuinely is. So Tilly the cat has got a new Christmas onesie.
What?
That's right. She can be dressed as an elf for Christmas. She's going to literally scratch my face off when I drop it on her. But if I have to let that happen in order to get a photo to share with you all, that's what I'll do.
Tweet us your festive stories of getting scratched up by your pet when you try and dress them up for festiveness.
I mean, genuinely, if you want to send us pictures of festive animals, that will make my Christmas.
I mean, there's never a time when we wouldn't be receptive to that.
Yeah, that's an art form in itself, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
We could argue that that's art.
Are you pitching this as a future Strat and Alex?
Who can take the best picture of my cat?
Who can dress your cat up in the best costume?
I mean, whenever I'm feeling cross with either of them, I might try and make them do that. But I'd have to make sure it's like on a wipe clean surface so I don't have to spend ages cleaning blood out of the carpet. Good. Okay. Well, that's festive. we're going to now run through a few productions that we think you should go and see if you are feeling festive and you want to put some festive performances into your eyes and ears. So first up, our very good friend and off-time collaborator, Steve Wickenden, is performing as the Dame in Beauty and the Beast.
Ooh.
I know. And he's been... I mean, his top performance with us was as the Queen of Hearts in Alice in Wonderland.
It was a top performance.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
So wonderful.
An over-the-top performance? I mean, how can it not be when it's the Queen of Hearts?
It was absolutely in line with what you would expect with the Queen of Hearts. He also played the librarian, so it was a very ranged performance. But you can go and see him now until the 7th of January at the Grand Opera House, York. So if you are north of the wall, that's Scotland, isn't it? If you're north of the country, in the UK, that is our top recommend for Christmas panto viewing. If you are south of the country, our very good friend and longtime collaborator, Shell Bristow, has designed some of the fabulous costumes for Aladdin at Watford Palace Theatre, which incidentally is where I saw my first ever pantomime as a child.
What was it?
Dick Whittington.
Very nice.
Classic panto.
It is. I have really vivid memories of my granddad trying really hard to catch some of the sweets that they throw out. He got a bit overcompetitive about it. But I think it's probably the first thing I saw on like a proper big stage. It's very exciting. So if you want to give your children and loved ones the same experience, the same theatre, then Aladdin at Watford Palace Theatre is running until the end of December.
And speaking as somebody who's worn costumes that Shell Bristow has made, they are beautifully done.
So good.
You got to watch out. Keep an eye on that stage. Watch out for that stitching.
Yeah. Poor. Such stitching. Shell, you're getting us all hot under the proverbial collar. One of our other fabulous designer friends, Zara Manzuri, who has done several shows for us, has designed Scrooge and the Seven Dwarves, which is running at Theatre 503. So if you are London-based and you want to go and see, it's a comedy play, it's not a panto, then that's something a little bit different. It's running until the 6th of January.
So if you want to see something festive, but you're one of those slightly dead in the soul people who hates panto.
Ooh,
you're not British if you don't love panto.
It's true. If you want a change from all the panto you've been watching, then go and see that instead. So that's all our festive recommendations. Are there any things that you guys want to recommend on TV or anything over the festive period?
I have not looked at the schedules, but I imagine that The Sound of Music will be on.
Don't know.
And probably Die Hard, maybe?
Probably. I have already purchased my double issue of the Radio Times.
Very good. And you've got your highlighters out.
I've highlighted it. Best thing ever. I am actually really excited about... So the company Mischief Theatre, who produced The Play That Goes Wrong and comedy about a bank robbery, as well as various other improvised shows, are doing a TV version of a new production, A Christmas Carol Goes Wrong.
Ooh, very nice.
Yes. So I'm really excited about watching that. Mm-hmm. And I am also very excited for some more kind of traditional, been running for a few years, specials like Call the Midwife.
Yeah.
That's always a good one. I love a good cry.
Yeah. Doctor Who.
Ooh.
Doctor Who.
You get to see Peter Capaldi turn into Jodie Whittaker.
Spoilers.
Ish.
Regeneration into a lady.
Ooh.
So exciting.
That's what Christmas is all about.
Do you think he's going to like do the, or she's going to do the waking up and go, I've got a vagina.
That's in that voice.
Hey, it's a clinical term.
I mean, it's a running thing that the when the doctor regenerates, he comments on a part of his body.
I know.
So not maybe, commented on his genitals yet, though.
No. Maybe she'll go for a boob grab.
Or, be like... I'm going to predict now that they're going to sidestep that and she'll comment on something non-gender related, like her accent.
Yes, because she's Northern.
Yeah, she's Northern and Christopher Eccleston was Northern.
Yes. Oh, no, not this again.
Yeah. Or like, still not ginger or something like that.
Yeah, that's...
I think that would be the classier way to do it.
Keep running that out, though. Poor ginger people. I love a ginger. Any attractive ginger men out there, feel free to get in touch.
At Blackshore Update on Twitter.
Yeah, don't give out my personal information, please. I've got all these weird ginger men.
They say they want to jingle my bells.
Anyway, good. Okay, well, we'll probably leave it there. I can't think of any more Christmas specials I'm really excited about. But, you know, there's a lot on. My usual thing is to record everything while I'm away, because I don't tend to watch a huge amount of family TV stuff. With my family, I mean, not like it's not suitable for family watching. So I then spend a couple of days between Christmas and New Year just in my PJs watching nice. Telly at home.
Oh, sounds good.
With a box of chocolates. Fabulous. All right, well, we hope you've all got wonderful Christmas and New Year plans.
I hope you get thoroughly mulled.
So mulled, and just eat all of the things and give your loved ones a little cuddle.
Yeah. All of them.
All of those things. And we'll be back again in the new year with a very exciting special episode. It's the live recording of this year's Scare Slam.
You get a bit of scary in the new year.
Absolutely. So perfect for the winter weather. You can cuddle up by the fire. Please don't light a fire if you don't have a fireplace. And enjoy my dulcet tones and some performances from some fantastic people. Get a little bit scared and have a lovely time. So that is what is being broadcast in our next episode, and we will hear you then. No, we'll listen you'll hear
you'll hear Ellie then.
You'll hear me then, but not Matt. You'll hear Matt clapping.
Yes, I was in the audience. I did not get involved. But we will talk to you again after that one.
Yeah, I'm going to dive back into a vat of mulled wine now. Bye.
Bye. Sploosh.
Go on, treat yourself to something.
Subscribe to the Blackshaw Arts Hour on your generic podcast resource.
You deserve it.